You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 136. And my guest on the show today is Patty. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, I don't know the dream that a dreamer is bringing to the show. You hear it as I hear it, except, of course, what we do is we record the dream interpretation, and then I come back to add this bit to the beginning, which is why I always sound like I know what the dream is about, even though by the time you get to hear me say, "Welcome to the Dream Show, Patty," we're back on the original recording when I know nothing about the dream. It's a beautiful dream. You've probably, if you've listened to a lot of episodes where we've had a guest on the show, you'll be very aware that we have a whole range, a whole diversity of guests on the show when it comes to dreams. Not only do they bring different types of dreams, but some of the people we have on already know a lot about dream analysis. Some people we have on have already had therapy on their dreams for many years. Some people we have on the Dream Show are dream therapists themselves, and the majority of people that come to the dreams know a little bit about dreams or have maybe been following my own dream work and applying it to their own dreams, so they know a little bit to a medium bit to a lot about dreams. And then we have a whole nother section of dreamers who come on knowing absolutely nothing at all about even where to begin to look at a dream. They just bring a dream in and it's like, well, what do we do with this? So I love that diversity. I can't say that I love one type of dreamer more than another. I love the fact that on the Dream Show we're able to bring you such a broad range of dreamers with different experiences of dreams. And I know you're wondering, well, which one's Patty then? Patty has been working on her dreams in depth for a very long time, and as you listen to her story, you'll uncover a lot more about that. And Patty has also studied her dreams, not with me. She knew very little about my own approach. In fact, I think she knew nothing about my own approach, but she's been studying her dreams with other therapists. So she's brought a lot of her own understanding of dreams into the conversation, and I think you'll love the way that we put so much together in Patty's dream. So just before handing you right over so that you can listen to our conversation and you can hear Patty's dream, our interpretation about it, our exploration about it, and finally the creation of a dream alchemy practice for Patty to do, I just of course have to give the normal website addresses. This is not a commercial thing, this is not a sponsorship, this is just me saying, hey, I've got a couple of websites, maybe you should go and check them out. So my main website is dream.net.au, and the other website is my blog, which is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. It actually doesn't matter which one you go to, because they both end up leading to the other one as well. Or you can find me on Facebook. Couldn't even remember what that was called there for a moment. But of course I do go there every day. You can find me on Facebook. And I think I wanted to say, oh yes, I also wanted to say, look, we are listened to in over 26 countries. People get so much from listening, particularly to a guest having a dream interpreted and the discussion that comes from that. So if you're really enjoying the Dream Show, do ask yourself one question. Is there someone I know, or are there people I know that may like to listen to the Dream Show? Please share it around, share the link. Everyone dreams. Most people remember their dreams. Most people, whether they know a little bit about dream interpretation or whether they know a lot about in-depth dream analysis and dream therapy, most people would like to know more about their own dreams. So please do share the link to these podcasts with other people and spread the word so that everybody can benefit. I'm not going to say any more. I'm just going to go now into Patty's dream. Welcome to the Dream Show, Patty.
Hi, thank you.
And how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. It's about 4 o'clock here, and it's just typical rainy weather.
Well, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning here, and it's just typical sunshiny weather. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, we are. Sometimes it gets a bit too much, so I have to say. And sometimes we pray for rain, because sometimes in Australia, you know, we actually enter drought periods, of course, and we did a few years ago for a very extended period, and we all had to actually start saving water, you know, cut back on our water in our showers and mm-hmm. everything. Not we were unable to water our gardens, so we're actually very, very appreciative of rain.
Yes, well, in Seattle, we don't pray for rain.
Okay, now, Paddy, as everyone know listening in who's listened to the Dream Show for a long time knows, I all I know is that you have a dream, and I don't know mm-hmm. what it is. So, when you're ready, if you'd like to give me, I think you did say to me you've got a title for your dream. So, you'd love to give the title and just read out your dream. Let's go.
Okay, so the title is Pumping Up My Soul. I'm riding my bicycle on a very busy highway. There's a very narrow shoulder off to the right, and the sidewalks are made of different levels of cement with ruts and cracks, and I feel a sense of urgency to pull over, but I need to find a smoother place where I can pull over and check my tires. And finally, I find a spot, but I need to make sure and pull over all the way because there's lots of traffic behind me, and I want to make sure they see me there. I find myself at the end of a woman's driveway, and she is washing her car but hands me a tire pump. I have a small one, but it's not very effective. She is showing me different inner tubes with skinnier rims. Some are smoother than others. I end up making my own decision, and I think just put air into the ones I already have. That's it.
So how did you feel at the end of the dream when you decided really just to go with the one, you know, to go with the pump that you had?
Yeah, there was a sense of, like, listening to my own inner voice, and it's just where I'm at right now and not caring what other people think, listening to their advice, but realizing I already have it all. I already contain what I need.
That's right. You've interpreted your dream very well. I was really just meaning, how did you feel about it at the end of the dream? But that's great. You had that feeling.
Oh, darn, we're done already.
So that's it. We're done. No, we're going to go in deeper than that. That's really good. Did you actually feel that in the dream?
Yes, I did. I felt like I trusted this woman and that I appreciated her feedback. And I felt that she knew more about these tires than I did, that she was really the expert. But then something kept telling me within the dream, no, you better just go with your own tires. Like, what if you take hers and something happens? And it just didn't feel quite right.
So you used your own to put the air into the tires that you already had.
Yes, and I didn't feel, I had a small pump that usually I cycle in real life, and it's a small pump that you can attach to the bike, and they're never really very good at putting a lot of air into the tire, not mm-hmm. like the stand-up ones. And in the dream, I just remember feeling, this isn't good enough, and it's wonderful this woman has a bigger pump, because I just don't think I can do it with this small hand pump.
And at the end of the dream, you know, you made the decision to use your own hand pump to pump the air in, but did you get the feeling that it was going to be the usual, you know, just quite a lot of hard work putting it in little bit by little bit, or did you have the feeling it was going to be easier in the dream?
Wow, I don't know that I got there. I think what was more interesting is that I think the more important decision was to go ahead and use the inner tubes I already had and not
yeah.
take hers.
Yeah.
That was an even bigger thing.
Yes, that's lovely. So we're starting at the top of the dream, and you're on the bike. And in the dream, is that the bike that you actually ride in waking life, or was it a dream bike?
I can't remember so much the bike as I did just me being in my real body riding on a highway like I do, and the spandex bright clothes I had on. But the bike was not as significant. I knew I was on a bike, but it was more the feeling of me and my spandex and just being free, which I've missed because of what I'm going through currently.
Okay, that's fantastic. And when you saw yourself or felt yourself with the spandex on the bike in the dream, was that more colourful spandex than you would normally wear, or was it much the same as the ones that you that you used to?
I think it was the brighter colours.
Brighter, okay.
From what I remembered, yeah.
Yeah. So there's this feeling that even though you're on the bike on the highway, which is something that you can relate to in waking life, there's a feeling that the focus was more on you and what you were wearing, and that was all toned up and brighter than it would normally be in waking life, and the bike was the lesser thing. It was insignificant compared to this beautiful bright spandex dress Paddy on the bike. Is that right?
Yes.
And the sense
but
of
definitely
freedom.
More aware of the bike as I realized I needed to get over, and it seemed like the sidewalk, the cement, it was not smooth. It was more like an obstruction. Then I became very aware of the bike and how I needed to be careful.
Okay. So there's you on the bike, and then there's the cement and the obstruction, and that's where your thoughts about the bike then came in, because the bike was the way to, you needed to pull over so that you didn't break the bike or didn't hurt the bike, or was the bike, just zone in a little bit more on how you felt about the bike, because you could perhaps have got off the bike and walked it along a little bit. So just tell me a little bit more about how you felt about the cement being an obstruction and the bike.
It was more like I trusted the bike to carry me, and it was more like, how am I going to get over? And the traffic behind me, all of a sudden I had a sense of how fast it was going, how busy the highway was, and how many cars there were behind me. I was more concerned about me, I think.
So you trusted the bike to be able to get you, which was the most important thing, off the road.
Right.
Okay. Just like you trusted your small pump and your own inner tubes and your own intuition at the end of the dream.
Yes.
There was a sense of trust. So even though the focus wasn't on the bike itself at the beginning of the dream, it was already invested with that sense of trust.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Paddy, you said there was the cement was rough and it was like an obstruction. Did you say that was to the right or the left? I actually missed that bit.
It was to the right, and in the States we have a name. I've done a lot of riding, and even on busy highways, with these ruts off to the side, and I can't think of the name of them, but I was thinking of that before you called, thinking that would be important. It's like a play on words or a pun or something. But it's these little grids. They're pretty even, and something tracks, and they can really, therefore cars, when, you know, if you're like tired or drunk, you fall asleep, and if you get over there on those, they make this noise, and then you know that you've gone off too far off out of your lane.
So they wake you up.
Yes.
Yes. But as you say, more importantly, they tell you when you've gone too far off your lane, too far off track. Not
right.
On the road anymore, and yet, although you can't remember the name of them, while we're talking about the dream here and now, it's the word ruts that's coming up for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Quite often when you, and I know that you have done a lot of dream work, so you're probably aware of this, Patty, but quite often when you are talking about a dream or thinking about a dream as you were preparing to talk to us when we called today, that often the unconscious mind will join in and contribute even while we're speaking, because we're already speaking about the symbols of your own dream. And that can include trying to focus on the most important aspect of the symbol. So even though probably, you know, as soon as you put down the phone today, you're going, oh, that was the name of that thing off that concrete patch. Why couldn't I think of that at the time? It's because your unconscious mind might be going, ruts, ruts, ruts. Tell
right.
it, say
so
ruts.
So it doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah. So it matters in the sense that your unconscious mind is probably drawing attention to ruts, you know, how we can sometimes get in a rut.
Yes, and I also put cracks.
And cracks, okay, ruts and cracks. So we can get, sometimes we can get into a rut about things. Sometimes things that are old crack, I guess, more than things that are new. But the other symbolism you've got for this is something that would normally, its positive function would be to stop you going too far off track.
Yes, yeah.
And you're seeing it in the dream. You're seeing this roughness of the cement as an obstruction.
Yes.
Something that's obstructing you from pulling over to fix the flat tire. That was right, wasn't it?
Yes. And I'm thinking my cracked persona, it's beginning to crack, which is good.
Go on. Give me the famous line from Leonard Cohen. Do you know it?
Oh, yeah. Is there a song with that word in it?
Yes, it's something about not worrying about the cracks because that's how the light gets in.
Oh, yes, and I just saw him in concert. I do remember that song.
Did you? How long ago did you see him?
About a month ago, 6 weeks ago, with a friend who grew up in Germany and absolutely adores him, and I'd never seen him. I never had any of his music. It was fantastic.
Oh, I love him too. I think he's great, wonderful, wonderful lyrics, and very very into symbolism and metaphor. So there you go. We're in tune with this, Paddy, you and I, because mm-hmm. you would have absorbed that metaphor when he was singing there about not worrying about the cracks because that's how the light gets in.
Yeah,
and,
I love that.
Yeah, so there's that sense, and I don't actually know whether that's his original line or whether he got that, whether that's from an older text, but I will look it up.
But it
before
applies
we do this.
To this dream. It makes sense for what I'm going through. I think I like that.
Great, that's fantastic. So we've got that sense of, and we will look at other areas of the dream, but we're doing well here. We've got that sense that you want to, you're just to the top of the dream again, you're life as usual, except you've already told me, and I don't know why yet, you've already told me during this discussion that you haven't been able to cycle for a while for where you're at, which we'll find out. But you've got at the top of the dream, here I am in a situation which I am accustomed to, except at the top of the dream, I feel brighter, and I feel freer. So we've got the sense of, I feel brighter because your spandex is brighter than you would normally wear, okay? So I feel bright, I feel free, this is great!
Mm-hmm.
But
there's still an intensity, like I have a sense of urgency and I'm on a mission.
Ah, even before you notice that the tire's flat.
Yes, yeah, I'm heading somewhere very important.
But you don't know where.
Right.
So go to the top of the dream again. Here I am on a way of journeying that I am accustomed to and know very well, and I have a sense of urgency and a mission because I'm heading somewhere really important. We don't know where yet, but I've got the urgency and the mission. I feel free, I feel bright. Everything should really be totally good for this, except suddenly I've got a flat tire. So there's one part, if you look at everything and everyone in the dream as possibly representing something about the dreamer, there's a sense that you've got this forward, fantastic forward motion, and everything's up and positive and going for it, and you've got this other area that's going, actually I feel a bit flat. Oh, I'm going to have a flat tire.
Yeah.
You've got to fix this. So that, you know, the dream reflects the 24 to 48 hours prior to the dream of your conscious and unconscious experiences. So how long ago did you have this dream, Patty?
Oh, gosh, probably 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So we're looking at, because you're not sure of the exact date at the moment, we're looking at about 2.5 weeks ago when we're talking about the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So this sense of, in a way, regardless of what's actually happening in waking life, in a way there's an unconscious part of yourself that has popped a flat tire in there, because it's not quite so sure about either the mission or the place you're heading to or the sense of urgency. And my feeling at the moment, and we'll unravel it as we go, is that the stress point is the sense of urgency. Because just sidetracking for a little while, if when we have a sense of urgency about something, I guess some people might feel a sense of urgency and be able to calmly go about achieving the mission. But most of us, the moment we use the word sense of urgency, we can easily slip into stress situation. This is urgent. I got adrenaline. Come on, stress. And at the moment you do that, you're in a different frame of mind to what you mentioned at the end about intuitive trusting.
And I didn't even. I remember recalling in the dream, I just kept going. It wasn't like my tire was flat, but I was worried about it, and I knew I needed to pull over soon and check because I just felt like my tires were low.
Were low,
and
okay.
And sure enough, when I finally pulled over, it was flat.
Okay, so you had the sense that they were low. So even at the beginning then, thanks, Paddy, for that, you had an intuitive feeling that although you were doing well, there was mm-hmm. imminent flatness coming in.
right, imminent flatness.
Imminent flatness.
I like that.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as poetic as Mr. Cohen, but it has a meaningful feeling in it, doesn't it?
Yes.
So there's a sense of some part of you, once you, even though you've got that sense of urgency, there's some part of you that's going, I know that when I get this sense of I'm bright, I'm free, I'm on a mission, things are urgent, there's often a sense of imminent flatness that goes with this, imminent, and a feeling of low. Which, if you even just look on a physiological sense, would be true for anybody that gets themselves into an adrenaline-fueled sort of situation. You know that after the high comes the comes the low.
Yeah.
So there's a sense in this dream that whatever's happening in your waking life, you're trying to get some balance even at the start of the dream. Like, I've got to check. I've got to get some air in here. I've got to get some
balance.
Space.
And I like you say that too, because I had a dream analyst. I was always dreaming about my cycling, and he says, well, people that ride a bike have to be balanced. So he focused on that a lot.
That's so true, isn't it? That's interesting. I've certainly seen that myself, you know, bike needing balance. And the other place I've often seen bikes come up as a kind of key symbol in people's dreams, and you'll know because you've had a lot of analysis, not from me, but from a Jungian analyst, I think you said when we were just chatting before the show. You'll know from the work you did there that there's no such thing as a fixed symbol. You know, symbols can be pretty general, but they always depend on the person. And I've quite often seen in people's dreams with bikes that they've often been people that are very independent or working, say, a one-person business. You know, a bike only works if you get on it and you make it work by yourself. There's no key for the ignition. There's no one helping. It's like it's entirely all me. So there can sometimes be that sense as well as the balance. It's like it's all down to you.
Well, that's exactly why I bike, because I love my bicycle friends, but it's the independence and the solitude that I have when we're all like in a pace line or riding 30 to 50 miles. We stop and chat and eat, but I also get that sense of being alone but being strong, and I'm making my own bike go, but here I am keeping up with these people, and I just like the combination of being with people and then having that independence.
That's fantastic, and that's a lovely balance in itself, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, thanks for that. So, you know, we're at the start of the dream. We've got all these things happening then, including this feeling of I'm heading somewhere important. I'm on a mission. There's a sense of urgency. I feel brighter. I feel freer than I've ever felt before. And I'm really enjoying this sense of independence and yet solitude that I can get with nice balance when I need it by feeling that I'm part of a greater whole. And yet some part of me is saying, hang on, this is a kind of formula where you can actually begin to where there can be imminent flatness.
Yes.
Which, so, you know, you may be feeling low, so ahead of that happening, let's pull over. And in the dream it's like I'm pulling over, I want to pull over, but all I can see is the cement obstruction, the ruts, which are also cracked. So there's this feeling of within yourself of going, yes, I know, but I've kind of been here before, and sometimes I maybe get in this rut. Maybe in the past I've looked at myself as I sometimes get in this rut of I'm heading for the urgency, for the brightness, for the mission. I get imminent lowness, I get imminent flatness, and this is a kind of rut. It's a cycle, for another pun. It's a cycle that I go on. And yet in the dream this time, because we have a really lovely outcome from the dream, there's a sense in which there may be a shift within your psyche in this dream that's ready to get out of this rut, to change it. And to me that's partly where you actually do find a slightly smoother part to pull over, which is good. But you know, you also brought up the cracks, and we had some really good synergy on that, which does suggest that when you went to the Leonard Cohen concert a few weeks ago, you did consciously or unconsciously get that feeling of, oh, I really like that idea of the cracks, that's how the light gets in. So this, you know, is a feeling that this dream is like there is a kind of conscious or unconscious pattern of very slight sabotage or pulling back here. It's a bit of a rut. I go through a bit of a cycle, and I'm ready to let the light in to just do the slight tweaking that will perhaps enable me to go forward on this mission, heading somewhere important, but rather with a sense of urgency, maybe with more of a sense of trusted balance.
Yes, that sounds good.
It does.
I'm just wait till you get to where I'll tell you what I'm going through. I'll wait till you ask me.
Yeah, I'm always dying to ask, but I will wait till we've done the dream first because I get excited about it. And Patty, you're pulling over to the right, which I know obviously you drive on the right-hand side of the road, so kind of literally that's where you would pull over. But I'm wondering, particularly because you mentioned it, you know, rather than just saying, I'm looking for somewhere to pull over, you were saying, yeah, I'm pulling over on the right. Again, it's the unconscious mind saying, it's significant that it's to the right.
Well, isn't that also, is that the masculine?
Yes, it is, yeah. So, you know, again, and if anyone listening in, you can never be cut and dried with symbols.
Yes.
But yes, Paddy, it is. It tends to be that what's on the right is reflecting your left brain or your yang. So it is indeed the masculine, the world out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're quite right, as opposed to the world within, which we come to with your inner tubes towards the end of the dream.
Yeah.
So there's that feeling of, yeah, where you want to, where you have seen the obstruction in the past, or you've seen the rut in the past as in the masculine area. So in other words, in the outer world and how you deal with the outer world, or the other part of your masculine area, you know, your left brain is too rational, or the rational, the logical, maybe the competitive, maybe the authoritative, maybe the this is how you solve things kind of part of the brain, maybe the reductionist rather than the holistic area. So in the dream, at this sense, you have the feeling of, yeah, look, it's an outer world obstacle, obstruction, because that's how you saw the concrete, but that's where I go to solve this. That's where the light's going to get in. In the first part of the dream, you're looking for the light to get in by looking at your outer world or your logical, rational approach to things. And that's where you find yourself, once you do find somewhere smooth to pull over, and there was a pressure of the traffic behind you, of course. That's to me, that's the sense of the urgency. It's like the build-up, the pressure behind you. The pressure at the time of the dream to take some kind of action about imminent flatness. But also, because the traffic's behind you, and of course traffic's behind you, but in a waking life situation, we also have oncoming traffic in front of us.
Yeah.
So it was the pressure of the traffic behind you. And what's behind you can sometimes mean what's behind you, you know, either like what's in your past or what's behind you in your psyche, what drives you forward, what pushes you forward. So there's this pressure of your past and past driving forces, which you're sensing, but, you know, wonderfully, I've got to get off the road and fix this. And that's where you find out that you actually meet this woman.
Yeah,
it's interesting when you described her, because I'm going to ask you for more description, Paddy, but you particularly said she was an expert, and I wrote that in capital letters on my page thinking, oh, she sounds more like the masculine side of the character. I'm an expert, I know everything here, that's more the inner male, that's the logical, rational. Was that the feeling you got from her, or did I get that wrong?
She was authoritative. I didn't know if she would relate to me or accept me, and I don't know what kind of a neighborhood it was. So I'm Caucasian. Here was a black woman, and I work with a lot of cultural diversity, but there aren't any black people in my neighborhood, and she was out in her driveway. She had this huge afro. I remember she was wearing, like, denim shorts and I think a bright halter top, and she was washing her car, and I just didn't know if that was the right place to pull over. There was a little bit of hesitation on my part besides getting past the ruts in the road, and that's just, I remember this about her.
Okay.
And yet she was very receptive to me.
She did turn out to be receptive, yeah.
Yeah.
And then following on from that, she tried to help you in very many ways, but at the end of it all, you chose your own method.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. So we're going to come, just want to backtrack slightly on that, remembering that when you did pull over onto the smooth bit, remembering that that cracked grid pattern is there, as we discussed, for waking people up, on the one sense, waking drivers up, but on the other, you described it as like pulling way
out. Are you still there?
Oh. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just, you might not have heard the last few seconds, so I'll just go back over that. Okay. Yeah, you said that that cracked pattern is there to like wake up drivers that have gone too far over, and mm-hmm. and it has a sense of going, you know, far off track. And you said there when you found yourself at the end of a driveway, you wondered if you were in the right place. So again, there's that sense that to let the light in or to fix this problem in the dream, you have this sense of pulling way off track, you know, because that's the symbol for this thing, something that wakes you up to being way off track. But I love what you said there, Patty. You said, I went past the ruts and way over to the right. So we've got mm-hmm. this sense of what you're doing is you're getting over the old ruts, the old groove way of thinking, and you, mm-hmm. you're into, you're way off track to where you would normally be. And this is where we have this experience with this expert woman who you did... Partly you did confirm there that she was authoritative, so that is kind of like the male expert side of her. And I love that you know, when you looked at her, there were two things that struck me with what you said. One was that she represents cultural, well, you work with a lot of cultural diversity, and you mentioned it in the context of the dream. So one of the symbols of this lady may be that she represents the fact of cultural diversity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other is that you looked at her and you thought, oh, an authoritative person like that, oh, I don't think she'll be able to relate or accept me, which are, of course, feminine characteristics, the female side.
Yeah.
And yet
yeah.
she did. She did receive you and was mm-hmm. receptive. So there was some element of the sort of female side there. And then she laid out all the, this is how it works, all the male kind of things, I guess.
Yes. Well, it was almost like my lightness and her darkness, and it was like, my shadow, but it was like the good parts of my shadow that I need to embrace that I haven't been aware of that can help me. That's another thing that's just now coming up.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So using her black color as a kind of shadow darkness symbol in the dream.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got that too, and the lightness of the intuitive feminine compared to what can sometimes be darkness in another sense, the heaviness of the male authoritative point of view. I'm also wondering, Paddy, in addition to that insight that you've got there, whether the fact that she may represent cultural diversity to you is some sense of, have you been aware in your, or are you waking up to, because this is sort of going over the wake up part of the road, are you waking up to a fact that you may have the only sense I can to is over embrace cultural diversity to your detriment is the only way that I can put it here, because like she represents maybe cultural diversity, and maybe you've worked so hard with such a sense of mission and urgency to embrace some kind of either diversity full stop, I'm not necessarily talking about people and races, but some kind of diversity or cultural diversity and kind of been overwhelmed with that to the detriment of choosing a smaller intuitive path, because I'm noticing at the end of the dream you still go with your small pump, and even though you've got to, you know, take it in smaller amounts, it does eventually get you there. So is there this feeling, do you think, that you may have sometimes taken on too much?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Too much. Working in a very masculine, patriarchal, Apollonian world and trying to be like them.
Great. Okay, fantastic. So at the end of the dream and trying to be like them, you're also with that patriarchal world. I love the way that you've got this inner tube, and it's got this kind of diameter here, and then there's this inner tube, and it's got this mechanical, you know, and they're pointing out all those, I guess, you know, yeah, male, patriarchal, authoritative, and then at the end of the dream you go, no, yeah, thank you for that, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to stick with the small pump I've got because it feels right to me, and yeah, maybe it's not going to be so fast and so big and so embracingly diverse.
And I won't get as much into trouble if I use my own versus someone else's.
I love that. So that's the independence coming out again, isn't it? And yet you, yeah, I love that too. You said, I won't get in as much trouble if I use my own rather than somebody else's. And while discussing the dream, you mentioned trust a couple of times. One was that you trusted the bike. Three times, I think. You trusted the bike, the woman, mm-hmm. you trusted her expertise, actually, I think you said. And at the end, you overall, you trusted your small pump. So there's this also this line of trust going through.
Yeah, even more than the, I did say that about the pump, but even more were the, I trusted the inner tubes that I had, but I was going to use my own small pump, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So great sense of trust, and a little bit of contrast there to add to your feeling of lightness versus darkness when you said, I trust my own inner tubes or my own instincts, intuition, because then I've forgotten the words you said, but you just said it a few sentences back about not having to go with what other people... What was it you said? It was a feeling to me of maybe not completely trusting other people and therefore preferring to be by yourself. What, can you remember what it was?
Yeah, I think it was when you were talking about independence, and I was, I ride a lot with my friends, but also the bike, besides balance, is for me a lot of independence. I can ride with other people, I can try to keep up with them, but I also have a sense of really being on my own, trusting myself and my own cycling ability.
And shortly before asking you what your waking life situation is, how would you transfer that thought to, you know, as you said, your work involves working with a lot of patriarchal people. How would you transfer that feeling there of independence and trust and not trust?
Yeah, well, but for some reason, for 30 years, I've stayed with my profession because I have had a lot of autonomy, and somehow I've found my voice out from underneath all of that. But I've taken a lot of risks, too.
Yeah. Okay, would you like to add in at this stage what's happening in your waking life that's relevant to the dream that you feel this dream may be reflecting?
Yeah, well, I'm in a PhD program in depth psychology, so it's very Jungian. There's a lot of mythology, looking at the unconscious as soul, a lot of dream work and archetypal psychology, James Hillman's work. And so I finished the coursework, and I knew at the end of the 3 years exactly what my topic would be, and it's interviewing oncologists and their fears and concerns about their own death and how it might transfer to their patient care. Mm. And I really had this whole, expectations and idealization about myself and my project, and I was going to just do all this amazing stuff. And then I hit a wall, and I'm really surprised I even got here, but the last couple months I'm thinking of putting the whole dissertation down. And the only thing that's stopping me from doing it now is what other people think. So don't I have enough of a voice, and maybe my voice will come out in some other more important way, and that perhaps my dissertation is healing my own suffering and forget about the Apollonian patriarchal world I'm dealing with every day. And is it really the physicians I'm concerned about and the way they handle death, or is it that I need to die to a part of myself and my dissertation is healing my own suffering?
I love what you said, and that makes so much sense that the dream is reflecting. Wouldn't that be the case for most of our lives, for those of us or who are awake enough to notice it, that the moment that you notice that a project that you've picked or a dissertation you've picked or a relationship you've picked or anything really that you've picked, the moment that you go, oh, this is actually potentially deeply transformative for me, and and it would work this way, and oh, actually I'm now transformed, I see that the project or the relationship or whatever it was is no longer necessary.
Exactly. It's like, okay, do I need to get a PhD to transform myself? Well, it's feeling like I don't. And it's hard, but it's like it feels like the truth. It feels very genuine.
Mm. And the only thing that's keeping you in there is what other people think.
Exactly. It keeps coming back to that. And then all the money I've spent and effort, but even that's not as important. So I really, it's like a wake-up call. I really need to listen to what my inner self, my soul, my voice, what I really want. And I've never been able to really say that before without the external world and their input, and considering that that's the answer for my world when it's not.
That's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it sounds like a very firm decision to me. But, you know,
it sounds like a fun place to be?
a firm decision to me.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a painful place, but I'm warming up to it, and I've never felt so much freedom, actually.
The crack where the light gets in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even just on a practical level there, Patty, you know, you said, oh, part of it is like the dollars I've spent and the effort. But, yeah, if that doesn't go into the dissertation, haven't those dollars and effort been well spent in bringing you to this point?
Oh, my God, yes. And that's what I keep telling myself, and it makes the most sense, and that makes me feel like I'm right where I need to be.
Mm-hmm. So if you go back to the dream now with all that in perspective, so you've got, just for our listeners here, so mm-hmm. although it's very clear, can you reflect on, we've got the on a mission and the heading somewhere important. Now we've got that heading somewhere important can be either the question of the dissertation or mm-hmm. the question of where you now go enlightened by what you have learned from this, you know, mm-hmm. they're both important places to go to, and they're both mm-hmm. missions. When you had that sense of, I know the sense of freedom, I'm probably answering this for you. You just said that you feel much freer now you've made this decision, and you had that sense at the top of the dream about being freer and brighter.
But we
still had to deal with in the dream that sense of the imminent flatness. Would you say, with this dream being 2 weeks ago, would you say that since the dream you've become more comfortable? That, do you think since the dream you've maybe crossed the line between maybe I should be writing the dissertation and maybe I won't be writing the dissertation?
Yes. I'm more and more comfortable. I mean, I still have like an hour a day where I feel like, well, maybe I can get revved up. Maybe I just need to look at it differently. And now that I have a new self, I can sit back down and type. But I think I'm going more and more because I force myself to pull over and to have some space between myself and the road, or myself and that highway, that maniacal pace of mm-hmm. doing this writing that's not feeding my soul. Now I feel like I really am able to, most of the days I can set it down in my head. I imagine myself not completing it. And even all the people that come up to me and say, have you finished your dissertation yet? That doesn't seem to bother me as much either.
Great. So at some level you've processed a lot of the dream, or because the dream had that positive outcome, at some level you did that transformation, that shift within the dream, and over the last 2 weeks that unconscious shift has been slowly percolating as it does.
Where is this other place I need to go?
Yeah, we can do that. Where is this other place we need to go? That's easy.
Yes, because I was way too rigid about what the outcome would look like if I did this whole school thing. Mm. And you're right, not some of the sense of freedom. I was way too attached to this only one way of coming out of it.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, looking back over your life as a whole, there have been times when that kind of storyline, in a sense, has been true, where you have maybe gone into something quite one-pointed and rigid, as you just said, and thinking that there's only one outcome, and then actually ended up quite low and flat?
Yes, or being really disappointed in myself, trying not to have any regrets, but looking back and thinking, I wonder if I just did that because of what everyone else thought.
There's
a definite rut.
Yeah. And how far back does that thought of what everyone else, being driven by what everyone else?
Probably childhood, like pleasing everyone else, getting approval, acceptance. But a lot of the things I've done in my life, my very intuitiveness, inner desire did break through, mm-hmm. but this is like the biggest one for me right now, because as you can imagine, you tell everyone you're going to go to school and get your PhD, and you do all of this, and you get up to half your dissertation done, and then how can you just let it all go? So for me, this is huge, but it's great. I'm loving it that it's just huge and that I'm finally going to really take a look at myself and what I really want.
I think that's absolutely fantastic, Patty, and I love that you've set yourself up in a major way to really say to everybody else, actually, you know, I may not write this dissertation.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought myself really in a major way, and boy, I sure didn't know it, and I could never, I never thought I would, if I heard I was going to do this, I never thought I would live this down. Like, I had to die in order to face people, and I so don't feel that way now, and it's great.
And this may actually, of itself, you can probably already feel more balance coming into your life. So when you go back to that feeling that you've always, that joy of cycling in a group that you've always got, where you're cycling in the group and yet you've got your independent solitude, you've got both, you know, you've got that place where you feel safe to be alone within the group. I think that's a wonderful thing, and you could probably fine tune that balance. And that may of itself stem back to your early childhood, where with everybody's expectations you probably did find little safe pockets where, despite all that, you could have your independence and your solitude to think your own way, even if at the end of the day back then you ended up with the pressure of the traffic behind you.
Yes.
You know, being driven by that. So this is your opportunity to totally get off the road, let the light come in, get out of the rut of that being driven by other people's expectations, and you know, I think you'll win if you wanted to tell people about it, and there's absolutely no need to whatsoever. I think your big win is that you've had a greater transformation than actually the work of writing the dissertation would have given you. You're in a far better place.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I am really thinking that more and more, that I'm in a far better place, and it's more genuine, it's more intelligent, it has much more wisdom behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What we do, Patty, I actually know from what you, our little chat before we started, that you don't know much about my approach to dreams at all. So I'm just going to describe this next little bit, which will just take us probably about 5 minutes before we finish today. And it's what I call dream alchemy. So when I work with someone with a dream, there are two parts. There's the first, which you're familiar and comfortable with, which is working through a dream until you get to a point of understanding it. And then the second part, which I do, is dream alchemy, which you may have done in different forms, which is where we look at the dream and say, now, is there anything, you know, the dream reflects your waking life. Is there anything that you would like to change about your unconscious beliefs now that you can see how they are influencing your waking life? Now, to some extent, as we've just been talking about, you have already done this, but there's, you know, there's a sense in the dream that if you hadn't already worked on this, that you might want to say, yeah, I want to get out of this rut so that I can complete my mission, whatever mission I choose, without this sense of urgency and without this sense of having to please other people or take into account their thoughts. So you pick that thing, and then we move to the dream alchemy, which may be a visualization, it may be artwork, it may be an affirmation, it may be body work, it may be writing work, it can be any number of things, but essentially it's doing an exercise using one or more symbols, personal symbols from your dream, and this is to talk to your unconscious mind using its own language, which is your dream symbols for this dream, to transform it. So, you know, the idea with dream alchemy is to do an exercise which reprograms your unconscious mind in the way that you would like it to be reprogrammed because you understand the dream.
Okay.
And that's what we will go through to now. Most, if you had a dream and it ended like, oh, we're still in the rut, then we will be putting a very powerful dream alchemy on that to get you out of the rut. Your dream ended, and there is light. So the dream alchemy we will be doing for you would be to amp up that light, to really, you know, to trust it even more.
I'm, you know, one thing that's hard to pull over to set this dissertation down is that, well, now what do? I have nothing but myself, and I no longer have this huge goal, at least the way I thought it would turn out. What's jumping out, the imagery in this dream, so I mentioned a smoother place, smoother tires, getting away from the ruts, just a smoother place. If I'm going to pull over, I don't want to I don't want to have to be so exhausted in my life trying to be somebody else. I want it to go smoother.
Yes, that's right. Not so exhausted. And you know, with that not so exhausted, I love how absolutely amazingly clever we are in our dreams, that we manage to actually bring in so many levels of meaning, because of course yours was also, you know, your dream was about your tires. It was about your inner tubes, but it was also about your tires being flat, tired, exhausted and tired.
Tired, yes.
So we've, you know, absolutely got, and tired because the inner tubes were deflated.
Yes, the true self, the inner child, the I love that.
Yeah.
The soul could even be the inner tube.
Yeah, exactly. Because mm-hmm. There's the sole of your shoe, and then, you know, there's, that all works. So what you would like to focus on in the visual, in the dream alchemy, and what would work, is that sense of pulling over beyond the ruts to a smooth place.
Yeah.
Where you are not tired, not exhausted.
Not distracted by what other people think.
So we could have that sense of freedom and brightness with your bright spandex clothes in there.
Yes.
Because that's something you want to take forward. And because what we want to do with Dream Alchemy is, although we want to do not exhausted and not worrying about what other people think, we want to actually not use not words in the...
Okay.
The unconscious mind is very good at not noticing the knots and just going, oh, exhausted, you want me to be exhausted? Yeah, I can do that.
So, okay, I've heard that before.
Yeah, but we, in a sense, we've got your freedom and your bright clothes to get over that. And I like the idea.
And smooth, I just like the word
smooth.
Not that life is smooth sailing, but...
Yeah. Would you, just before we work on it a little bit more, what's your feeling? Would you like a visualization or some artwork or a writing exercise on this? What would work for
a writing? I love to write. A writing exercise would be good.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'm just thinking, because there's two major ways. The way that we would normally often go with writing, which I don't think I'll do with you, would be, but just to describe it, would be a dialogue, and you've probably done those with your other therapists.
Oh, like transference dialogues, and you just imagine you're talking to some, it could be somebody in the dream.
That's right, and I would normally say it might be the smooth surface talking to the rutted surface, but I feel, Patty, because your dream has actually... has already begun to integrate the opposites and you've come out with a positive feeling, I'm not going to go down that track. I'm thinking, because what that would do would be give you more insight into the smooth place you'd like to be and give you more insight into the rough place you've come from and help further integrate. So if you want you to do that, we could go down that track. Let me know in a minute.
I could do art, I could do imagery, whatever. I mean, I'm really open to
anything. I'm going to stick with writing because you want to do that, but I'm going to give you a different task.
Okay.
So when you do Dream Alchemy, the point is that you do it very, very fast. So there's no expert brain, there's no thinking brain, there's no conscious brain involved. It's all done as fast as you can, so your unconscious flows. So you're going to pick your keyboard or a pencil, whatever works for you. You're going to stick a timer on, say, for 15 minutes max, and you're going to write really fast, and you're not going to worry what comes out, even if it seems to be garbage. You're just going to write very, very fast. So you're coming from the same place as your dream. And all I'm going to do is give you a title, and you're going to just not think about it for the rest of the podcast we're doing now, but when you sit down, when we finish recording, to just write the title and just go for it.
Okay.
And the title is, let me just get this going, go to Reddit. This beautiful, free, bright, smooth, airy space. This beautiful,
free, bright, smooth, airy space.
Yes, that's the title. And you're just going to, although that's a title, you're going to start with those words too and just let it write itself. Don't you even be thinking about it now, as long as, just assure me you've got those words written down.
Okay, I love it.
Right, so don't think about that now, forget that. What that's going to do is just get more in touch with your unconscious mind, which actually knows a lot about that smooth place, which will begin to answer that question you said about, well, where do I go now? It's going to take you there.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to ask about the dream before we wrap this one?
No, that gave me a lot to think about. That was great.
Okay, that's fantastic. And while you're, especially when you listen back to it, Patty, after all the thinking, do the feeling too. So you're really connecting with the feminine and with the emotion, you know, because you will know from all the work you've done that after the thinking comes the connecting to the feeling, because that's where the true transformative power is.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, this was extremely helpful. I tend to go through my dreams too quickly, and it's much more powerful with someone taking you through it.
Yeah, it gets you that extra, you know, when you become as expert as you are, it just gives you that other, another person one step away from where you are looking at it from a different angle, particularly because, as you know, most of our dreams are running past our personal conflicts or our personal perception, and we're going through those because we're often locked in them, and just having one person one step away being able to ask you slightly different questions or see things that you can't see can often be, you know, the crack that lets the light in.
Yes, the puns, the unconscious, the terms, the imagery, you know, I a lot of times don't notice so much unless somebody else takes me through it. So.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm so glad that you enjoyed that. And Patty, above all, I mean, let me know how your alchemy exercise goes. And above all, a very big thank you from all our listeners who are, I'm sure will enjoy this, because, you know, when we do the having a guest on the show is when, you know, so many people write to me and say, I get so much out of that. Well, people get tips and ideas for how to approach their own dreams, a deeper understanding of the dream therapy side of dreams. And, you know, and the thing that I love the most, that no matter how unique our own individual dreams and struggles and enlightenings are, for everyone listening, there's always something to resonate with. So, you know, everyone takes something away and go, oh, yeah, I learned from Patty that this, you know. So I really thank you for that, from all of our listeners and from me too.
Thank you so much, Jane Teresa.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And I did actually say to Patty, after we finished recording the dream, she was still on the end of the phone, so we had a chat for a few minutes, and I added that maybe as a kind of another dream alchemy practice, she might like to download that Leonard Cohen track we were looking at, the one that mentions the light, the crack being how the light gets in. We've all reminded ourselves since the title of that song is Anthem, A-N-T-H-E-M, Anthem. So if you kind of resonated with that, you might want to go and download that too. Leonard Cohen, Anthem. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. I'm sure you all got heaps out of that. Thanks again to Patty for her contribution. If you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show in the same way, just pop me an email and we can easily organise that. It's done as a gift, as a contribution from you to our lovely listeners out there in 26 countries. Our next episode will be episode 137, which will be released on the 5th of April. Have a lovely 4 weeks till then. I wish you all sorts of dreams, and I wish you smooth and beautiful outcomes and smooth and beautiful places to arrive at when the light comes in. I'll talk to you on the 5th of April. Remember, please, to share the link to The Dream Show with those that you care for. And, I'll see you then. Over and out. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.